Hello, and welcome to the Healing No Filter podcast. I'm your host, Laura Renner. I'm an author, a nurse, and frankly, someone who's been through a whole lot. I'm here to provide you with a weekly dose of relatable, no-nonsense methods for healing your mind, body, and all things trauma-related. Now let's dive in. Hello, everybody, and welcome to the podcast. Today, I am joined by JC Sally. JC is a functional nutritionist and athletic performance coach with over 11 years of experience, specializing in the holistic development of both adult and teenage athletes. As a competitive athlete who has navigated physical trauma, she deeply understands the challenges her clients face. Through her comprehensive approach, she empowers them to persevere, manage stress, optimize hormone levels, and naturally heal their brains. This holistic focus ensures peak performance both in competitive environments and daily life. Drawing from her expertise in nutrition and fitness, along with various therapy modalities, JC transformed her own athletic performance from overwhelmed and frazzled to confident and dominating on the volleyball court. Her program and book, Achieving Peak Performance for Elite Athletes, guides athletes through essential strategies for nutrition, mental toughness, and reclaiming confidence, fostering both physical and psychological resilience. Well, welcome, JC. Thank you so much for joining me today.
Thank you for having me. I'm honored to be here.
Absolutely. I'm really excited to dive in because I know you have so much knowledge about these topics. And I know you, of course, specialize with working with athletes, but also you specialize in digestive wellness. So that's, you know, a topic that I love to dive into because it's so complex and complicated. So I'm really excited to chat with you today about all of that.
Yeah, absolutely.
So one thing that I know really deeply impacts our digestion is stress. And I know that it impacts our bodies in so many ways, but it can really impact our digestion, which can kind of cascade from there. So can you just explain what stress does to digestion?
Yeah. Great question. So one of the biggest things with stress is that, you know, our body wants to go into protective mode anytime it experiences stress. So one of the biggest things is if you put it into this analogy, if you're running from a tiger all the time, your body is constantly in a state of protective mode. So it's going to send most of its blood flow to your extremities. And it wants to just keep you alive. It doesn't care if you're digesting food. It's like, I gotta keep this human alive. So what happens is your blood goes kind of all out to your extremities. Your body wants to just send most of its energy to its vital organs. So it's going to keep your brain, your liver, your heart, your lungs alive and well. Digestion can go to the wayside because it doesn't need to digest food when it's running from a tiger. So that's the biggest thing. And so for folks that are experiencing constant stress, that is where their bodies are all the time. So instead of just every once in a while running from a tiger, they are constantly in this state of a stress ball. That is essentially running from a tiger all the time. And that's when digestion goes to the wayside. We get the, you know, constipation, diarrhea, bloating, gas, all of that is the effect of, I mean, stress. When we're talking about the topic of stress, that is a stress response from our digestive tract.
I love that you use the example of running from a tiger because it truly is how our body and our brain interpret it. And I use examples similar to that a lot because it really is kind of that primitive stress. Even if it's, you know, an emotional threat or a future threat, our body still interprets it that same way. So I love that you said it like that. So when we're not really having great digestion, what does that do to our bodies?
Yeah. So, I mean, in general, if we don't have optimal digestion, we can experience things like skin issues, fatigue, weight gain or weight loss. We have more absorption issues, again, back down to the digestive distress, right? Our body is trying to tell us by creating an inflammatory or an immune response, giving you, you know, I'm bloated or I have gas or I have, you know, food just goes right through me. That is your body trying to tell you something, whether it's uncomfortable or not, it is something where your body is speaking to you. So addressing these issues by creating a more diverse diet or eating more of the rainbow, these types of things. And we can talk a little bit further about that in detail later, but just everything is interconnected. So, you know, there's a lot of responses that our body has just from our digestive tract of it's telling us something is going on.
Yeah, no, it's really interesting. I'm so glad that you said that, because I've learned just on my own path of learning more about nutrition and things like that to support my body, how it really does start with digestion. And if our digestion is impaired, that really impacts everything in our body. So I know this is kind of a loaded question, but where do you suggest someone starts if, you know, they are experiencing digestive distress? Like, where would be a good kind of starting point to go from there?
Yeah. And really just kind of doing an assessment of your body, right? Or assessment essentially of your life, like lifestyle factors. What choices are you making each day that are either helping or hurting your system? Is it alcohol? Is it sedentary lifestyle? Or is it the opposite? Are we over-exercising? Are we so stressed out that we think exercise is our only answer? So we run to the next thing. Literally, we run, we bike, we lift, we do all these things in excess, creating even more stress. So really that overall assessment of our body and our life to really see, like, where is stress affecting us in different ways and how are we reacting? Life is 10% what happens to us, 90% how we react. So if we react in a way where we have to go running no matter what, or we're just going to be stressed out, like, that is something to really evaluate in our life. When it comes to alcohol is a way to just check out, right? So that's a way where we're running from our stress. So really, like, where to start is just that assessment. Look at your life and understand, like, some of these choices that you're making and see if you can make a better one next time.
Such a great point, because really, I think so much of everything comes down to awareness, but I think really kind of having that awareness, not just of even how your body's feeling, but all those stressors, because I was totally that person who I over-exercised. I thought that this was my way to relieve stress, was just constantly going. But in reality, that actually was depleting me in so many ways. So that's such a great point. So to kind of continue on that, another thing that I know having stress and, you know, a lot of digestive issues can lead to is hormonal imbalances, which is unfortunately something that I've suffered with. And I know many people have and are suffering with. So it's super common in women, unfortunately, but where do you suggest people start with their hormone health? And how do you support your hormones through nutrition?
Yeah, for sure. I think, you know, one of the biggest factors is hormones are literally a direct sign, or like, it gives you a direct pathway of what to address. So it's interesting, right? So fatigue generally is, you know, there's a lot of factors, but when it comes to hormones, we can look at the adrenals, and the adrenals produce our stress hormone, right? So if we wake up every day and we're fatigued, that points me as a health professional in the direction of looking at, okay, how much stress does this person have in their life? How often are they exercising? Are they waking up and hydrating, or are they going right to the coffee, which is another essentially stressor? Mm-hmm. So, you know, besides going to someone like myself or a health professional, you know, another health professional, it, you know, really just evaluating, you know, what choices you're making each day that could be contributing. So, you know, things that we can experience when our hormones are imbalanced are fatigue, unexpected weight gain or loss, again, sleep, mood swings, changes in our skin health, changes in our hair. We start to lose hair when we're stressed out, or, you know, when we have hormonal imbalances. So, you know, there are factors in the fact that as we age, our hormones are changing too. So we can add the, you know, the idea that we do have a stressful life. But there's that whole other factor of aging, and the way aging affects our testosterone, our estrogen, our progesterone, all of that can create fatigue and weight gain and depression and anxiety. So really, you know, sitting down with a professional and talking this through is key. But if you were to kind of take this on yourself, looking at your water intake each day, are you eating the rainbow? Are you finding different colors in your food each day? Are you watching how much caffeine you're taking in? Are you getting enough sleep? These things are such huge factors for our overall whole body health.
You just gave so many great examples of just really seemingly basic things that I think so many of us take for granted, like sleep, caffeine intake. Like, I know for me, that's been something. Decreasing my caffeine intake has been huge for helping to reduce my stress and help with my digestion. And same with alcohol. Oh my gosh. Like, I know even when I just have a glass or two of wine, it will impact my sleep and it will impact my digestion. So thank you for bringing all that up, because I think that's super helpful. And so would you recommend, because, well, okay, let me backtrack. What I was going to say is I recommend, and I'm sure that you could probably say this as well, baseline testing, I think, is a must. Because I know for me, when I kind of started exploring a lot of this on my own, I had no idea where to start as someone who's a nurse with a science background who did a lot of research. So what kind of testing and things do you recommend to kind of get started to really get a baseline assessment?
Yeah, I think, I mean, there's a lot of really good tests out there. There's, you know, getting a blood test to check your whole entire panel. I believe in more of a holistic approach. I'm looking at more of a, hair and saliva test where I'm looking at the whole body at a cellular level. I think the whole body approach is better than just looking at certain things with blood. So that's generally where I go with my clients. I'm going to kind of revert back to diet when it comes to hormones. You know, when back in the 80s, when we were told low fat, right? Everything we need to eat low fat, low fat, low fat. That's kind of grown into, you know, the world that we're in now. And people are thinking, you know, fat is the enemy. Well, guess what? Fat is what transports your hormones. So if you're having a lot of these, you know, symptoms that we're talking about each day with a fatigue and you know, different weight gain, hair loss, all this, how much fat are you eating each day, right? How often are you getting enough fat? Because that is what's transporting your hormones to all over in your body. So for me, when I work with clients, I'm looking to see, you know, not only their fat intake, I'm looking at the testing to see the measurable results, but I'm also looking at that whole body approach, like we talked about with the sleep and caffeine and everything like that.
So valuable, because it really is a whole body approach. And I love that, because it's so interesting. I mean, coming from the healthcare world, especially, everything is really laser focused on, you see one specialist for this one thing, and really you have to take into account the whole body and things like sleep. It's, as someone who chronically never really slept, just seeing how much sleep really impacts your stress levels, your body's just baseline functioning, your ability to think, so many things. It really is this whole body approach. So I really appreciate that you're so focused on kind of that whole encompassing approach.
Right. Yeah.
So I know you kind of touched on it, but in terms of symptoms for people that do have hormonal imbalances, would you say, because I think a lot of people probably think, oh, it's, you know, women's hormonal symptoms related to their cycle, but I know it's a lot more encompassing than that. So do you typically see kind of the same symptoms, or would you say it's really just kind of different across the board depending on the imbalances?
You know, it is different across the board depending on imbalances, but I would say like a lot of folks might not understand that their hormones are imbalanced. They think that what they're experiencing in their life is just what it is, right? And so I would say like, sometimes I'll have clients in my office that are just like, I'm so agitated, I'm so frustrated all the time, I can't sleep. And when I do sleep, I don't feel rested when I wake up. So there's a cycle that happens each day. Each morning, our cortisol goes up, gets us ready, gets us motivated, gets us excited for the day. And at about 12 o'clock, that starts to go down and our melatonin starts to go up, right? So melatonin, that's our sleep hormone. So that starts to come up around 12, it gets to its highest point around 9 or 10, and that's when we should be going to sleep. For folks that are experiencing a ton of stress, have high cortisol, their adrenals are taxed, which are, your adrenals are what creates that stress hormone, they have the opposite effect going on. So they have high melatonin in the morning, hard to get out of bed, not motivated, don't want to work out. And then around 12 o'clock, they start to get a little bit more energy. And by the end of the night, they are ready to go. And that is, you know, that doesn't help with the restful sleep that we need for healing and detoxing and regenerating. So that process, working with a professional or really just evaluating lifestyle and understanding what you're putting in your body and how much rest you're getting, you can flip that. And it's not that hard to flip, but really recognizing that process is happening all the time when we're running from a tiger. And so finding someone to help you kind of rebalance that, or really just, again, taking a look at lifestyle factors and seeing where you can make some changes, can really help change that type of thing for your life.
Oh yeah. No, I think that's having that outsider's lens of, you know, working with a professional enables you to gain more awareness, because I know for me at least, and probably for a lot of people, you don't really realize maybe how out of whack you are in some ways, or how your sleep is maybe not as normal as it could be. I say normal with quotations, but things like that, you don't really recognize because it's so normalized to you what you're feeling. And maybe what's so out of whack is kind of your baseline at this point.
Correct. Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly. So I know you've already kind of touched on this, but just to kind of go a little further, like, what do you recommend for someone who's like, okay, I clearly probably have some hormonal imbalances. Maybe I'm not able to lose weight. My sleep isn't great. I'm really experiencing high levels of stress. So what is kind of that first place to start for kind of seeing that change and improving someone's health?
Yeah, right. So kind of looking at the lifestyle again, doing an assessment with your life and your choices, but also, like, you know, this can seem, for someone that you just described, that can seem, any suggestion that I give out, maybe I give out three suggestions, can seem overwhelming as heck because you're already so stressed, right? So I like to look at what are three small changes that you can make and try to incorporate in a 2-week period, right? So, okay, I need to drink more water. I understand that every day my body requires half my body weight in ounces of water. If I drink caffeine, I have to add more water. If I drink alcohol, I have to drink more water. And that number I can, you know, help people figure out. But that said, like, how about I need to get 100 ounces of water each day? Can I commit to that for 2 weeks? We look at small changes that can create huge changes in our life. What about if I decide I'm going to turn the TV off at 9 p.m. and really just either read a book or try to even go to sleep at that time? That extra hour that you're getting, that you're not looking at at a screen, looking at, you know, social media, that type of thing, that you can take and give back to your life will create all the difference throughout that process of every night your body is trying to heal. It's trying to detox and it's trying to rejuvenate. It's trying to help you so that the next day is better. And so turning off that TV or that iPad or whatever, your phone, at 1 hour earlier. So now we've got, I'm going to drink 100 ounces. I'm going to turn off the TV at 9. What's another thing? I'm going to try to walk. I'm going to try to dedicate 30 minutes of each day to just walking. It's not this over crazy exercise that we need to do. It's not going and lifting a bunch of weights. It's literally putting one foot in front of the other for 30 minutes a day, and make that promise to yourself for 2 weeks. That's easy. And I think most of everything I just said is free.
Yeah.
Or accessible.
Yeah. No, and that's such a great point. Not only is it free, so that's something that we can all do, but I think that's so important to really highlight just those small changes, because you're expecting somebody to just completely disrupt everything in their life and doing all this stuff is not manageable or reasonable for someone, especially who's experiencing a lot of stress. So really kind of breaking it down into those small little pieces and just trying to commit to that for 2 weeks. I think that's so important, because I can attest, for someone who, when I did my first functional medicine assessment, like a year and a half ago, and I was so overwhelmed because I thought, oh my gosh, I have so much wrong with me, which is terrible to say, but I totally felt that. I felt I have so much wrong. I have so much to correct. I have so much to do. And I just got so overwhelmed and stressed out about it. But really breaking it down into those small pieces of, these are things that are going to holistically help my body and will start moving me in that direction. That's super valuable. So thank you for sharing that.
For sure.
So yeah. So I'd also love to kind of circle back. I know you've mentioned caffeine a couple of times, because that's something that was really, really kind of interesting for me to learn about too. So I know caffeine actually makes us feel more stressed out, makes us feel more anxious, but especially when you brought up kind of, if for people who have caffeine first thing in the morning, what does that do kind of to their cortisol and to their stress and bodies?
Right. So great question. And caffeine is such an interesting thing. We need it, but we don't. It helps, but it doesn't. It detoxes, but it's, you know, all these things, right? But when it really comes down to it, that first thing in the morning. So when we're sleeping, our body, as I mentioned, is fasting. It's detoxing. It's rejuvenating. It's doing all these wonderful things. So when you get up in the morning, giving your body something that is helpful to that process that just happened overnight will do wonders for the rest of the day for you. So for example, if we wake up and we have, let's say, lemon water, or we have just water or apple cider vinegar water, we're creating an alkaline environment for our body to be able to actually remove all of those things they uprooted overnight. Okay. Now, if we do the opposite, we get up and we go right for the coffee machine and we take two shots of espresso, we go and, you know, exercise. Our natural process that we have going on in the morning is that cortisol raising in the day, right? Or up until 12, as I mentioned, right? Now, if we go and we have a bunch of caffeine, we shoot those cortisol levels up super high. And then we actually, as you mentioned, become even more stressed out, even though it becomes this habitual thing, right? Coffee, go. It's coffee and like tiger, right? Like ease our body and our mind into the day. Because if we start our day on a stressful level, each thing that we encounter is going to be more amplified in stress. So we really want to ease our way into the day, give ourselves some yummy, you know, lemon water or just regular water to just help our systems get adapted to being awake, help our brain get adapted to being awake, and then give yourself the caffeine. I would say if you can wait upwards of 90 minutes before you actually have caffeine, you'll notice a huge difference in the latter part of the day on how your body actually can relax and chill out instead of being in this hyper state from being so stressed starting first thing in the morning.
What a good recommendation. Cause you know, I used to be a chronic caffeinator throughout the day. I thought I need it. And while I was living in this super anxious state, I was basically depleting my energy sources. So I would crash and then I'd get more caffeine. Then I'd get more anxious and then I'd crash. And I was just kind of living in that cycle. But as someone who's been trying to, I'm not going to say caffeine's going away from me permanently, but I've been trying to minimize my caffeine, you know, for my hormone health, for my energy levels, for my anxiety. I do wait at least an hour before I have caffeine after I wake up. And it does make such a difference. So I'm so glad that you brought that up because I don't need as much caffeine as I did. And I can, you know, it'll give me an energy boost, but it'll be more sustained because I'm awake. I'm not just going into the day just immediately with caffeine, anxiety, like all of that energy.
Right. Yeah. And you know, what's an interesting factor? I'm just going to throw this in. Our bodies require, as I mentioned, half our body weight in ounces of water each day, right? So if you, you know, if you're someone who weighs 150 pounds, you need 75 ounces each day to just for the normal bodily function. Now, if you add caffeine to that, let's say you have an 8-ounce cup of coffee, you have to add 16 more ounces to your base level of water each day just to compensate for that caffeine. Then let's say you work out, you have an hour of a workout, you have to add another 8 ounces. So when we're talking about stress and hormones and, you know, different things that are stealing our energy, one of the biggest things that can steal our energy is dehydration. So I am a fan of caffeine myself. I'll admit that. I love it. I love coffee. I love the taste of it, but I do know that I have to be careful with it and really be mindful of how much I'm ingesting and really make up for it with water.
Yeah, no. And thank you for saying that. I hope a lot of my friends who give me shit for how much water I drink are listening because I'm always someone who I always drink a ton of water because guess what? I drink caffeine. I exercise. I sweat. Like I know I need a lot of water and I know how that impacts your digestion, impacts your stress levels. Like it impacts so many different areas, but that's the first thing that people just kind of forget to do is hydrate.
Yep. Yeah. It's amazing.
Yeah. Makes such a difference. So just kind of like circle back to everything. So really what you're saying is a lot of things really do stem out of lifestyle changes. So really kind of managing your stress, finding those ways to kind of manage stress, prioritize sleep, and really just focus on good diet. So you mentioned kind of rainbow foods. So can you give just kind of some just general examples of what are kind of good rainbow foods for people to incorporate?
Yeah, for sure. So rainbow foods, we want to try to eat from the rainbow each day, right? So we know that green is going to be something that's alkaline for our system. So getting something green at every meal, that way you're covering green. Let's say lemon water in the morning, you're covering yellow. An apple for a snack right before you go work out, that you're covering red. So like things that, you know, we identify as different, you know, colors of the rainbow and trying to get each color of the rainbow throughout the entire day will make sure you're getting enough fiber for the entire day. We need 25 grams of fiber every single day. If you really take a look at how much fiber is in foods, you'd be amazed. There's just not a lot. And it's kind of crazy. So getting 25 grams of fiber each day, and that you can get from fruits and vegetables, you can get it from some beans and lentils. But then also really just getting that variety. If we eat the same thing every day, we're not creating a diverse microbiome to help with different digestive issues that we might have going on. So that is something I would key in on is just, you know, get a picture of a rainbow and before you go on to the grocery store and grab some of those foods.
No, that honestly great idea. Cause I know I actually went to it was a stress physiology conference about a year ago where, they talked about how our gut microbiome should be like a diverse forest. It shouldn't just be, you know, oh, you eat just a ton of kale because kale is good for you. You really have to diversify it, and how much that makes a huge difference on our gut, which therefore makes a huge difference on really everything in our body, our mental health, our physical health, our stress. Like it's so interesting how it all really just works together and kind of communicates with each other and gives each other feedback to kind of all work together.
Yeah, exactly. And one of the things, you know, to consider here is that, you know, when you are in a constant state of stress, your body wants to steal resources from other places to help you. Like, I got to help this human survive, right? So I'm going to steal some stomach acid because I need to convert it to this to help with the overall cellular health of this person. So when it comes to, we talked about digestive health earlier. If we're stressed out, our body's going to steal stomach acid. It's going to steal testosterone, and it's going to try to make something better in your body. So the idea there, you know, if you have digestive issues and you're constantly stressed out, one of the key factors is our stomach acid. and another point there too, with the hormones is the testosterone. That your testosterone can just drop significantly just from stress because your body's going to take and steal it to try to make something else to calm you down. And just to kind of piggyback on that too, we've talked about managing stress, but we haven't talked about some of the things we can do for that yet. So I wanted to just talk about that real quick. So a lot of times folks will run, like I was mentioning, they'll go and exercise more to help manage stress. How do I manage stress? I exercise. Well, constant exercise actually raises our cortisol even more. So we have to find balance in, you know, HIIT training versus strength training versus restorative, right? So creating, a week can look like maybe we're doing restorative on Monday morning, right? Because we want to have a calm start to our week or a stretch session. Tuesdays, we're hitting it hard with the HIIT training. Wednesdays, we might do strength. So then maybe Thursday, we're looking at more of a restorative type of a workout, really trying to find that balance throughout the whole week on exerting versus relaxing versus strength training. That will also create more, help you manage stress more.
Yeah, no, I'm so glad that you said that because I used to always be, I just did high intensity spin classes, high intensity crazy lifting workouts. And then I would like hike 8 miles on the weekends as my restorative, I say in quotation, workout. And oh my gosh, I mean, my stress was sky high. My digestion was so out of whack. My hormones were so out of whack. So, I'd love to hear just kind of when you're talking about restorative, ideas, like what do you recommend? So I know there's yoga, but what are some other ideas that you can give some people as well?
Yeah. Yoga is such a good one, right? We're looking at moving our body, but also our breath and our mind, right? We've got everything kind of aligned. So I absolutely love yoga and in any form, right? I wouldn't necessarily suggest bar because that's just more high intensity, but, or sculpt, I guess I should say, but finding that restorative yoga. Another one is Pilates. Pilates in some ways can be restorative. Another big one is breath work.
Which, I love breath work. Yes.
Yes. Breath work and then meditation. So those are my top like four restorative things. And even though breath work is not going for a run, it is still helping your mind calm down and creating way more of a grounding in your nervous system. Same thing with meditation. We training our brain to really start on start our day in a calm way or whatever time you want to meditate. Taking that time for yourself to create more of a grounding feeling in your body will allow for the rest of every day to be more calm for you.
Absolutely. And, you know, it's interesting because I think a lot of people, you know, it was always thought in the past, like, oh, exercise is what's good for your body. You have to exercise. But really, there's so many other things that are good for your body that are bringing you to that calm state that can really help your hormones and your stress equally, if not way better than these high intensity workouts can, you know, especially thinking back to just how it was always about do cardio, you know, 5 to 7 days a week. And just the way that we learned nutrition, just kind of as a society and all these things, a lot of it's really backwards. And so I imagine a lot of what you're doing is really kind of resetting all of those kind of beliefs and things that a lot of people had from growing up.
Exactly. That is most of my session. Kind of helping people, you know, understand the different thought process and undoing a lot of what we were taught. And really helping people take those small steps forward.
Yeah. So can you just kind of explain what it's like to work with you and kind of what your like initial assessment would be like and things like that and just kind of what that process looks like?
Yeah, for sure. So generally that initial process or initial session is going to be an assessment where I'm going through and just asking you questions to get to know about your life, your lifestyle, your goals, your health history, anything that you want to share with me, but I give you prompts. But I'm really, you know, looking to hear things so that I can help with what your goals are, but really what might be causing it. I'm a big root cause person. I'm going to dig down deep and try to get to the root cause of everything with you. And then I like to, from there, working with your goals and what we've discovered, and we take small steps. We're meeting bi-weekly after that to really, you know, put in, as we talked about, 2-week stints of really putting stuff into practice. Did it work? Did it not work? This worked, this didn't work. We pivot from there. And then that's essentially how it works. Every 2 weeks we're meeting, we're adjusting. And generally people work with me upwards of 6 months to just really create a new lifestyle for themselves that is peaceful, that is, you know, detoxing, it is balanced. It's, you know, you have a more balanced approach to the day. You feel more grounded by the time you're done working with me. You feel like you are empowered to make good choices for not only your life, but your diet, for your family, for yourself.
Such like so many important key points there. I think the fact that you really kind of take these 2 week blocks to really kind of break it down in a more kind of digestible, no pun intended there, way for people to, you know, incorporate these lifestyle changes, because it's often really big changes over time, but also it really does take that time and consistency. I know some people may think, oh, 6 months, like that's a long time. But when you're completely shifting and changing your lifestyle, your behaviors, your diet, so much of your life that you've done for decades, it really does take that time and consistency to see those changes.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. And it's so nice to have someone walking with you during that process instead of just going and doing it on your own. We can read as many health books and listen to as many podcasts as we want, but like working with someone by your side will help with that process through that entire change that's going on with your life, creating a new lifestyle for yourself.
Yeah, absolutely. And especially, I mean, nowadays with social media, people will just throw out like, here's one tip of everybody should take this supplement or everybody should do this one thing. And that's just not reality. Like we're all different. We're also different in terms of, you know, our lives, our history, our stress levels, our imbalances, like what we need kind of help with. So I think that's so important that you do really do that individualized approach. So this has been, I mean, super valuable. You've given so many great tips, but JC, where can people find you to, you know, work with you and just kind of get more information about you and your services?
Yeah, for sure. So I do have a website. My, the business name and website is sproutnourishment.com. I'm also, you can find me on social media. I'm on both Instagram and Facebook at Sprout Nourishment.
Perfect. Awesome. Well, I'll include all those in the show notes as well. JC, thank you so much for joining me today. This has been, I know it's been really valuable for me. I know it's going to be really valuable for all the listeners. So thank you so much. And thank you everyone for listening. I hope you gained some value today, and I will see you next time.